is WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show recognizes and acknowledges that we gather today on Indigenous land taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitment to survival, identity, and the protection of our world.
Sometimes it did.
There was like 3 seconds.
That's okay. Nobody minded that delay.
Yeah, let the land grant sink in a little bit.
Right, exactly. A moment of silence for the land grant.
Yeah, take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Get ready to transition into positivity.
Right.
Fun, excitement.
And theater's back, baby.
Theater's back as our bags under our eyes from getting back from a preview after midnight, I think, last night.
So many shows, too. We've seen so many shows the last 2 weeks, which I'm not complaining.
No, we are so excited. Yeah. I guess be careful what you wish for on See You at the Show.
But
we've wished for a lot, and things are happening, and great things are happening. And we're going to talk about what is going on presently in the CU theater scene. We've got shows we've seen to talk about. We've got upcoming shows, upcoming auditions. However, we also have a guest.
We have Latrell Bright in the studio again. Yay!
Welcome, Latrell.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm so excited about upcoming show going on at the Station Theater, starring you, a one-woman show.
Featuring me.
Featuring you.
I guess in a one-person show, you can say, call it whatever you want. It's like, if I start my own company, I can be the CEO, the COO, the coup, as you say.
Right. You can call yourself anything.
But we are featuring the one and only, or is it more than one Latrell? How many Latrells? Are we seeing different characters?
It's multiple characters. It's a typical one-woman show. She kind of takes you on a journey of people in New York and South Carolina.
Wow.
Wow, that's a big difference between New York and South Carolina.
Yes, there is.
So you've got accents planned.
I have some dialect work. I think I'm mostly mimicking the audible version that she's done. I haven't been working with a dialect coach. I just wanted to keep this casual.
Right.
Not all theater has to be 30 hours a week and costumes and lights down and all that.
Who is the she that you're talking about?
Sharon Washington is an actress and writer. And mainly an actress. I think part of her story is that she thought this was originally going to be a children's book, talking about the little girl who lived in the library, grew up in the library. But somehow, somewhere along the way, it became something that she performed, so she turned it into a one-woman show. And she only recently, I think back in 2019, got it published so that other people could produce it. But she was going around performing it.
Herself.
For years, yeah.
And it's called Feeding the Dragon. And how long of a show is
it? About 70, 75 minutes.
Okay, with no intermission.
No intermission.
Right.
No. My kind of show.
That's perfect. And it's so perfect for COVID and everything.
Absolutely.
Small cast.
Yeah.
Is there going to be any set or you're just...
There might be some rehearsal cubes, and we're still trying to figure out whether or not we're going to have the actual books that she references or be more artistic about it and just have some kind of generic books, because she quotes, and she'll read from, like, Baldwin and Du Bois and Hurston and all those.
So are you talking about yourself in the third person when you're saying she will read?
Oh, is that what I just did?
Yeah.
Oh,
you said she will read.
I'm talking about the character Sharon Washington.
Right.
Yes.
I wonder, you've directed so much. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you're kind of, even though I know Jackie Lowenstein is,
yes, and
is
she's, thank directing goodness. You. Yes, because I can't see myself. I can't hear myself. She's great.
How
yes.
have you two been working so far?
We've been meeting at her apartment Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a couple of hours for like the last couple of weeks. So, and it's coming along. It's coming along. I got through it on Wednesday. Yeah, with a few stops, but I got through it. So that's.
So Jackie said that you don't necessarily have to have it memorized because
no,
it's a reading.
No, it's not going to be memorized. Yeah. I'm going to be familiar, and then we're going to determine which parts should be memorized so that I can connect with the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like so much fun. It sounds is. Like a perfect, intimate show that will make people think
mm-hmm.
and in a nice space.
Yeah, and I had submitted it to, Jackie and I had submitted it before right. the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. So it was one of the proposals that we put in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad it's going to happen.
Yay.
And that's going to happen December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And I don't know if this was your decision with Jackie, but I know as a board, we've been wanting to live stream as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be live streaming on Saturday the 4th at 7:30.
Yes.
That's like our renewed commitment to accessibility.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like streaming as much as we can and doing mm-hmm. live shows so people can see it either way or both ways.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you can see it both ways? Can you actually attend
not at
and
the same
have an
no.
iPad out?
No. No, no okay. iPads in the theater.
Please
turn off your
all
phones.
Cell phones and iPads.
Right. Yeah, but actually, I, you can see it more than once.
Just a quick little, we're going to talk about Elf yes, later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that part.
However,
later.
Can we just, it was really cool what he did
okay.
of they had Santa mm-hmm. basically as he's introducing the show, he's saying, well, I'm about to read here, so I better make sure my cell phone's turned
oh.
off.
Yeah, it was really cute.
And I better unwrap my candies so we don't. so it was kind of one of the, I've heard creative ways of doing that
right.
before, but that was actually kind of like in character mm-hmm. in the show and still getting the message across.
Right.
But
right.
Probably no, hopefully no candies at the station. I know we do have masks required of all audience members.
Yes.
If you are
right.
going to come in person, expect
and you won't
to stay
be masked while you're doing the reading.
I'm not sure we've determined that.
Okay,
yet. I think there's a 15-foot distance requirement
right.
for me to be unmasked. So I think that should work in the station.
Yeah.
But I also want to be close to people.
Right.
So we'll have to see
mm-hmm.
which one. We haven't decided yet.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We've seen some pretty creative use. The masks that they use at Heartland
mm-hmm.
Theater in Bloomington are clear.
Oh, nice.
And they are, they also do not seem to really hug the face too closely. So
mm-hmm.
I know like Mindy Smith and Tanya Combs can tell you how their experience
yeah.
has been with that one. I got a one that looks like a traditional mask, but it's got a mouthpiece, so it kind
yeah.
of freaks people out because
yeah.
I'm masked, but they're seeing my lips move.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for my stepdad, who
mm-hmm.
is he is hard of hearing, and
okay.
he relies partially
yeah.
on lip reading.
Yeah.
And so, but I also think that would be an option for some theater groups to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us just a little bit more about the show, because you've told us New York and North Carolina or South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Okay. And what's the journey or what's the story generally about?
Generally, the story is she's telling you about the people in her life who were of most influence, family members, people in the community, people on the block, you know, going down south to visit family down there. That's where her father was from, and he was, you know, part of the migration and moved up north. And then a really kind of endearing story about discovering that your parents are human
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and real people and learning to kind of love them and forgive them and accept them and still know that you had a lovely childhood even though there was other stuff going on. So,
right.
Yeah.
How old is she supposed to be?
Oh, goodness. You're asking me a question that I should know the answer to. I know at one point she says she was 11 early on. So, but at one point she's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end we see her as a kind of full grown adult.
Right.
But it's the little girl years living in the library that
right,
are just
that are.
Kind of fantastical.
So when you're playing her as an 11-year-old, are you playing an 11-year-old or are you playing an adult
Sometimes.
Thinking back? Okay.
The script has identifies when I'm speaking as Sharon, just telling the story, remembering,
right,
and when I kind of channel my younger self.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it goes back and forth.
That sounds kind of hard.
The mother has a New York accent. The father has kind of a Southern accent. Aunt Sis has kind of an accent. So it's all of these different dialects and characters that it's really kind of fun to play, especially when they're in argument with one another.
Right. Going back and forth. And you're doing all of it. Yeah. That's amazing. That sounds really fun.
Cool. Yeah, it is fun.
Did you have the opportunity to see Sharon Washington perform this?
No, I've only been able to listen to the Audible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you don't have any sense of how she'd work the stage or props?
No, and I don't want that.
Right. Sometimes
I don't think
it's
really a story where I'm going to try to be Sharon Washington. There's so many connections to my own life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
That I'm just a storyteller around a campfire and people are listening and that's really it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to see you on stage very often. You're usually directing. So
yes.
This is a big treat. I wish it was going to be more than three.
When is the last time you were on stage, Latrell?
Stage performing something?
Yeah.
I did my one-woman show at Memphis Fringe back in 2018. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was 2018 or 2017, something like that. I think it was 2018. But I've never done that show here.
Do you miss acting? Is that one of the reasons why you wanted to do the show, or you just...
No. I know that in this moment, we are all kind of looking for what shows can we do that don't center whiteness.
Right, right.
And so since I had put forth this proposal anyway, my original goal was to do it as a fully staged with a set and lights and all of that. I just don't have that kind of energy right now.
Right.
But it's something that we can do that is... I think hopefully high impact, but doesn't require a whole lot of time and resources that people don't seem to really have right now.
Right, right. Yeah. And it allows us to actually get it done. Like it's so easy to say this project's just too big, so we have to wait, and we can actually get this done sooner.
And also hopefully a further example of what could be a part of each season.
Right, right.
Yeah, that everything doesn't necessarily have to be... fully staged.
Right.
And that's money and resources. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that even the show that we recently saw at the U of I in the Playhouse. Very, very minimal.
Origin story.
Yeah,
did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see Redline as well?
We didn't see Redline.
Which was more of a staged reading.
Right.
But still,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we really liked Origin Story in the way it was very minimalistic kind of set. And I don't know. I would have seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
So we're talking about Feeding the Dragon, the true story of a little girl who lived in the library, which is going to be performed by Latrell Bright. This is coming up December 3rd through the 5th on See You at the Show website and our Facebook page. We will have all sorts of information about how you can get your tickets.
And the tickets are already available. You should get them soon. You can buy them.
Because we're going to have limited seating.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. Right.
Do we have a number?
I'm not sure what the capacity is.
I think Jackie said maybe 55, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, so we should.
But with only three shows,
now.
You want to get your tickets soon.
Right.
And if you get frozen out, then you can watch it from the comfort of your home. But you will miss the intimacy and warmth that is exuded by Latrell Bright whenever you are in her midst.
That's right. Will you have a talk back or anything after any of them?
Possibly the Friday night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That'll be fun. I mean, because I haven't read it. I don't really know much about it, but already I know I'm going to want to see it more than once. It sounds really interesting. And living in the library would be amazing. It's autobiographical.
Goodness
gracious,
I wish.
I know. I'm just like, I want to know more about this person. So, yeah, that's awesome. But you also have other things coming up at U of I in the theater department. Do you want to tell us about?
Yeah, so when I was hired full-time, part of my charge is to kind of reinvigorate the Making Communities Visible initiative that Krannert had years ago, where one of the culminating events from that was the production of Dreamgirls back in 2016. But that was 2016, and so how are we still making communities visible? So Illinois Theater has... made a commitment, Gabriel Solis, the head of theater, and Kevin Hamilton, the dean of FAA, to put some funding towards a few initiatives. So what I did was I called on the Black and Brown folks that I knew in community. We met, we talked about the kinds of things that we might want to have. And so there are really kind of four wings to it. First, we have a kind of a play club instead of a book club, where I think it's December 9th, we're going to, the scripts arrived today, actually. We're going to read Fabulation or The Reeducation of Undine by Len Nottage. And so one of the things we wanted to do was to make it accessible is that the U of I Theater Department pays for the script, so that's not a barrier to mm-hmm. participation. And one of the things we're hoping for is that people are going to kind of build a library of mm-hmm. stories by, plays by folks of color.
Right. Great idea.
So that will happen in December. We just did a reading of Schoolgirls or the African Mean Girls play at the behest of Prince Robertson,
right.
who couldn't be there that day because he had
oh, no.
something else to do. But we had a lovely reading of that, and it was intergenerational. Nicole Anderson Cobb was one of the readers, but mm-hmm. Tyler read one of the roles as well.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was really lovely. And so we have the kind of the performance readings that mm-hmm. we'll do. This one didn't have an audience, so it was just the people in the room who were reading and Jackie. another arm is a playwriting group where we've had one meeting so far. We met at Einstein Brothers one Saturday morning, and we'll do that every now and then. But the thing that we really want to grow is that the Armory Free Theater sits empty in the summer. So we'll be given a really modest budget to put on some play there mm. in summer of 2022. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is we're interrogating systems and looking at the processes and practices that we have, really kind of bringing everyone to the table to make a decision. So this is not where Latrell is artistic director of making communities visible. She's going to decide what we're going to. No, we're going to collectively determine what play we want to do. And there are a couple at the forefront right now, a Tanya Sirocho play and another Len Nottage play. That we think we could do. So, but we'll have another meeting in January with the group of people who want to show up and be a part of that conversation. There's no pressure to do that, but if you want to be a part of that conversation and that decision-making process, all you got to do is show up to the meeting and put in your 2 cents, and we'll figure it out.
Nice.
So those are four wings, and those are on top of of just kind of the job in general of three classes and directing a show and the theater studies New Work Festival. So, but that, I really love the idea of what was Nicole, I like the way she puts it, building a culture of storytelling, like theater, theatrical storytelling in the communities of color.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of work to be done. Right now, I know more Black folks than Latinx folks and Asian mm-hmm. American folks and Indian folks and Middle Eastern folks and Indigenous folks. There's still relationships that need to be built.
Right.
This is not meant to be a Black initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How can people get involved if they want to be involved?
That is really a good question because everything is just now getting off the ground.
Okay.
I would say contacting me either through my website, latrellbright.com, or finding me, lbright@illinois.edu. We're still trying to figure out whether or not Making Communities Visible is going to be the name of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure we like it.
Right.
So it doesn't have a web presence right now. It's just something that's bubbling under the surface
mm-hmm.
that will probably gain a little bit more traction next semester.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's great to know that it's coming up and that you guys are working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds fabulous. So, keep us posted.
Yes,
and as
absolutely.
We can let other people know, we will do that.
Yeah, we could definitely
Thank you.
Be a helpful arm both on the air and through our
that
various
would be
web presences.
Mm-hmm.
Presence side.
You were right the first
time. You're always trying to make new words. Which I appreciate. But so the December reading, is that open to the public?
Yes, that is.
Okay, and that's going to be held
at the Station Theater.
At the Station Theater.
Okay. Now, is the Armory Free Theater, is that where you do a lot of your professional work also, or what is
no,
it, or
the
where
Armory
is it?
Armory Free Theater is the student-run space on
okay.
campus with the theater department and the big Armory building, and then Inner Voices Social Issues Theater is the resident kind of company in there. But it sits empty. I think, speaking of Tanya Arati Combs, she did a devised piece in there a couple of summers ago because
right.
it was available,
right.
and I had a key, and so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to what we might be able to kind of build and grow together. Because there's no desire for Station Theater to be the place where all the black people go.
Right.
We want CUTC, and we want to be able to be in all of the different pots.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just happen to be lucky at the Station Theater to have a space. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that we'll have the community groups that don't have space will be able to use our space more often because we are so fortunate to have
really
a building.
Really excited about the board.
Yeah.
The current and recent boards.
Right.
And the growing pains and the movement forward. Absolutely.
Right. Well, you were a big part of that. So we really appreciate you putting your... so much time and effort into trying to get the board to grow. And I think we're on a good trajectory now.
Yeah. And Latrell, I want to thank you because I think we've tried to make a difference here with See You at the Show,
but that is
mm-hmm. motivated largely by you and your work and listening mm-hmm. to your words and giving you the microphone when we need to just step aside and shut up and listen.
I can hear my mother say, shut up and say thank you. So
I was just making the point that's our job. But anyway, now we're going to kick you out, though.
Yes. Okay. That's fine. I'm hungry anyway.
After I make that noble speech, then I'm like, I'm turning your mic off in 3, 2.
I got dinner. You got someplace to be.
I know. I've got to go to work, too. So, but we appreciate you so much.
Thank you. And I appreciate you and the show and keeping... making every theater and every company, like bringing everything to the surface, and that there doesn't seem to be a hierarchy here, and I appreciate that.
Well, we're trying.
Let us know what we can do better and let us know how we can help, and we'll be watching and learning the whole time.
All right, lovely.
All right, well, good luck with Feeding the Dragon.
Thank you.
And your initiatives with whatever the unnamed. I like to help name things, so I like making cool acronyms.
All right, so. We might need your help.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Latrell.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
So, returning to theater stuff that's happening right now.
Right. That we did. So we just saw Elf the Musical last night.
Yes.
Which we alluded to earlier.
And that opens tomorrow.
Right.
And that's in Danville. We have been
at
spreading
the beautiful
our wings.
Fisher Theater.
Oh my gosh.
It's worth it just to go to that theater. So I love the Virginia. I think I've said this before that I love the Virginia, but the Fisher is just amazing. It's like the Virginia on steroids. It's beautiful. We sat in the third level.
There was some stairs climbing involved.
Yeah. So there's like all these different levels, and then it's such a big space that you can definitely be socially distanced, and normally we keep our masks on throughout a show, but since we were on the third level and there was no one even close to being around us, we took our masks off, which is kind of nice.
Are you looking for absolution here?
I'm looking for absolution. Please tell me it was okay.
we don't like these asterisks that people put on.
I know.
But I was totally safe.
I know, but there's a picture of us without our masks on at the theater,
okay.
So I'm explaining.
So we're already
outing
ourselves.
So
DLO, again, they've been doing a lot of really good work, and they have access to an amazing space, as we've been talking about in Fisher, at the Fisher Theater. And this particular show is directed by a young man that I've been following for about 2.5 years.
That sounds creepy.
Burst on the scene. What?
No, just the way he said, a young man I've been following.
This is why one listens
we
to the
just
whole
saw,
show.
I know it. We excerpts. Just saw Fun Home, so I just, anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Go.
Well,
sorry.
All right.
I'm just teasing you.
I'm a
you.
Fan. Of
I
Jerry
know.
Strain.
Strain.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
no.
care how
and
old or young he is.
And he's so, and he's so young. And he directed a musical at the Fisher Theater. That's pretty awesome.
And I guess it's also an
and
opportunity.
He's in it.
And talking about Jerry and the fact that he's directing and in it, which he wasn't what he intended to do, we can also give another homage to
Rodney.
To Rodney Woodworth.
Which they have this very, very sweet picture of Rodney in a Santa costume, and a very sweet thing about him as you walk into the Fisher Theater.
And so this role of Santa in Elf was the last thing that he auditioned for, and he had been cast as Santa. He's a Santa in life and many times before on the stage, and he would have knocked this out of the park. And so if you want to, do something nice for Rodney, this show is dedicated to him. they said Rodney's expertise in being Santa for many years had him mentoring a young Santa, Jerry Strain, then auditioning for and being cast in the role of Santa in this production of Elf, and Rodney passed away very shortly thereafter. But his protege, Jerry Strain, he's a very Santa-like youngster, and he has been hiring himself out and donating his time as a Santa for the past two or three years already. So he's an amazing Santa. You wouldn't believe, that when you see him open the show, that he is just a few years out of high school.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm going to put a plug in for the set because I really, really, really love the set because they just look for elevator doors and a revolving door, and I just wanted to go up there and see how it's done. In fact, I should have done that last night.
Yeah, there was some really spectacular stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And so spectacular that we were even prohibited from showing all the amazing pictures that we got because we want there to be some mystery. There's not a whole lot of mystery to what happens in the show. Most people maybe not have not seen the musical, but have certainly seen the Hollywood classic movie version. And there's a lot of stuff that stays true to that. Some of the favorite moments that you'll see in there just from when he leaves the North Pole saying, Hi, Mr. Narwhal. and when he sings his song, I love you, Dad. I love you. I'm with my dad. So
I have to say I'm not a huge fan of Elf the movie. I know that's not okay for me to say probably, but it was cute and it's light and it's fun, and there were a lot of fun parts to it. So even someone who doesn't necessarily like that kind of comedy can still enjoy it.
Absolutely. There's something to seeing those little movie moments performed live on the stage, and also there's more to this show than just, aside from the fact that they're singing, but the storyline's also better developed. There's some cool, like, minor characters in the movie that have bigger roles. In particular, Kaisha Mays.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to just say, there's a standout person that just blew me away, and that was Kaisha Mays. I've never seen her before, but I hope we see her much more. Her voice is amazing. It's a musical, so most people are singing, and I don't know. I just couldn't keep my eyes off of her.
And it's hard to top that role, the guy who's the store manager who kind of goes through the exasperation. And what Kaisha does is she not just delivers the best of what there was, but goes beyond that and has a chance, in the way that this is written, to have an expanded role. And what I wrote down in my notes, and I didn't really know it was a pun, but I put, she slayed it.
That's the way your mind works.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I rewrote it.
It's okay, Latrell, you can laugh. He's crazy.
Kaisha slays it.
Yeah.
E-I-G-H, no. Baby.
We're going to have to put that in the review.
So lots of this it's a show, and here's the thing. You have to go this weekend.
Right, because it's only one weekend.
It's for a musical, it's unusual to be such a short of a run, but they've got this amazing space, amazing sets. They've got a ginormous capacity, so you're going to get tickets. It's in Danville. It's 29 minutes on your GPS, right down 74.
Well, it depends
couldn't
on where
be easier.
Where you're coming from. But
okay,
yeah.
Right, it could be 28 minutes.
Right. but yeah, it's an easy drive. Carpool, help the environment. Go if you want to go see it. Oh, can I also say Nehemiah Ray? Also, another standout person that I wanted to see more of.
Yeah, so. And his story is really cool also. He'd never acted before. Mm-hmm. Then DLO did Hairspray just a few months ago. That gave him his introduction, and then boom, he says he's hooked.
And he's like 15, and I kept reading it again. Like, really? Is he really 15? I cannot believe that. He has an amazing presence for someone so young. And yeah, I just was like, please do more. I can't wait to see him more.
And we got to see Thomas Strain as Buddy, but this role is double cast. So Champagne theatergoers may remember Brian Good from last 5 years at the station. Mm-hmm. He was also most recently in
Kenny Chumbly's The Kingdom of Dreams.
He has, and he was the Scarecrow. So, Brian, I'm sorry we didn't get to see you. You're doing your dress rehearsal tonight.
Well, he was in there last night as a smaller part. He just wasn't as Buddy.
Yes. Right. So a lot of really great standouts. I liked Jackson Lewis as the boy Michael Hobbs. Mm-hmm. Craig Smith, another person who's done a lot of acting in Champagne is the dad, Walter Hobbs. Had some really great chances to shine, especially in the second act with the Buddy the Elf classic.
And we actually stayed for the second act.